Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and we're celebrating the Easter season. We're in the fourth week of Easter. We're going to celebrate all the way through the celebration of the Ascension and Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so what we've been doing over the last few weeks is looking at the readings, for the most part anyway, looking at the readings from the Acts of the Apostles that were given. The church puts before us the unfolding of the church under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the apostles living in and living through the very things Jesus said would happen. And one chapter after another, it's just very, very inspiring. And I encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to do that, just sit down and take some time and make a determination over before Pentecost is here and we're celebrating it, to just walk through the Acts of the Apostles. Read a chapter a day and just let the Holy Spirit, maybe put yourself, a little Lectio Divina, put yourself in the center of that story, maybe on the receiving end of when Peter's preaching in the temple or the dramas that are unfolding, to just imagine yourself in that situation and really take in, what is it that they're saying? What's the circumstances they're facing? What are they up against? How do they handle it? How's the Holy Spirit working in and through them? Fundamentally, what is it they say, and then what do they do? It's just so enriching and so inspiring. And we're meant to be like following in the footsteps of the apostles. Not all of us are, you know, have the responsibility that Peter has. We all have our own measure of responsibility according to God's purpose for us and our gifting and the rest of it. But we're all meant to be missionary in our soul and through prayer and how we live our life and our willingness to enter the mission of the church. We're continuing to extend this mission and this message throughout the world. This is as critical now as it was on the day that Peter was launched and the apostles on that first day. So if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I began with the story in chapter 10 of Cornelius, kind of made, well, we're basically halfway through it. We're going to finish it up today and maybe even get into tomorrow because it's such an important story. This is the moment when the gospel, the good news, the saving message of Jesus, and the vocation of Israel. Israel is meant to be a light to the nations. And the Messiah, Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, the preaching of the gospel first began in the household of the people of God of Israel, right? But they're meant to be a light to the nations. And now the apostles are that light, that Jewish light, that messianic destiny of the people of Israel starts to go forward, and the light of Christ, the truth of Jesus and his work of salvation, is going through this small band of Jewish people, the men and women that have gathered around the Lord and that are following him. And it's just wonderful to see. And so the initial chapters is really the preaching of the gospel to the Jews, and the confrontation that happened, which was very intense. And it's particularly inspiring to see how the apostles handled it. The same guys who on Holy Thursday night pretended they didn't know the Lord or betrayed the Lord or ran and hid, whatever. It's a different reality that they're now experiencing. And that's because they were baptized in the Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Jesus said, and you shall be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The mission of the church is moved by, is empowered by, directed by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. You're a Christian. You've been christened in your baptism and in confirmation. The Spirit of God is upon you. He's anointed you to be a part of this story. And the Lord wants us to be attentive to whatever way he's calling us and have an expectation, have an alertness and a prayer life and a living conversation with the Lord and expectant faith that sees yourself in the story. It's so important that we do that so that the church and the message is alive in the people of God and salvation continues to go out to the world. So the story of Peter and Cornelius, Peter was in a town called Joppa and Cornelius was in Caesarea. Cornelius is a centurion, a chief over 100 soldiers in a band called the Italian Cohort. And it's beautiful. Acts of the Apostles describes him as a devout man who feared God with all his heart, gave alms liberally to the people, and prayed constantly to God. And so he was what was described here in the footnote for the Bible, that the God-fearers were a particular, identified as particular people in antiquity who worshiped God, who worshiped Yahweh, the God of Israel, in synagogue services. Some of them followed the moral and religious precepts of Torah, but they never got circumcised. So they're not considered Jews, but they were respected. And so Cornelius was one of those men, and he was praying, and an angel appears to Cornelius and says the following. And as Cornelius stared at the angel, he felt terror, and he said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God." So that authentic hunger for God, God does hear that cry, the peoples around the earth, right? And he said, then he tells him to go to Joppa, to send some of his men to Joppa, to the house of Simon the Tanner, to where they will meet Simon Peter, and to bring Simon Peter to Caesarea to meet Cornelius and his house. And so that happens one day, and the next day, as they're on their way, it's about 30 miles, Peter's praying on the roof of the house of Simon the Tanner, 3 o'clock, and he goes into a trance. He's hungry. They're preparing his food. He's up on the roof. He's praying, and he goes into the Lord gives him a vision of animals, all kinds of animals in a big sheet coming down from heaven, animals, reptiles of different kinds, and a voice says, the Lord says to him, "Take and eat." And Peter's taken aback by it because he said, this is unclean food, and I've never eaten unclean and common things. I've never done this as a Jewish person. And then that happens 3 times, and then Peter realizes, you know, it's the Lord, but he's trying to discern it. While he's in the context of discerning it in the moment, 3 people come from Cornelius's house, one a soldier who also was considered a God-fearing man that Cornelius sent to come to meet Simon Peter. And Simon Peter comes down and speaks to them, and they say to him, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he called them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went off with them." So, you know, the verse 23 here in chapter 10, Peter's inviting them in to be guests, and they enter his house, and that's not supposed to happen. You know, Jews are not supposed to enter the house of Gentiles, especially to have meals with them and the like. But the story now goes on. It says, "The next day he rose and went off with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his kinsmen and close friends." Remember, his whole household was following him in righteousness. There was a God-fearing household because of the leadership of Cornelius. Probably Cornelius and his wife together, as it usually happens. "When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him." Wow, right? "But Peter lifted him up, saying, 'Stand up. I too am a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, 'You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean.'" Big change happening here in the people of God. The Lord had given Israel these laws to be a distinct people, to stay focused on the Lord, to walk in the purity that the Lord desired for them. That wasn't God's full end time plan, so to speak, for the sending of the gospel and the message when the time was right. So the Lord opened Simon's eyes to say, "Look, these human beings who I'm sending you to, they're not unclean." So verse 29, "So when I was sent for you, I came without objection. I ask then why you sent for me." And Cornelius said, "4 days ago, about this hour, I was keeping in the 9th hour of prayer in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright apparel, saying, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God.'" Here's something interesting, friends, that here's a busy man, Cornelius, responsible for over 100 Roman soldiers, had a big family to take care of, an extended family, had a lot of responsibility in his hands. There's a lot of intensity in Israel, you know, in those days and conflicts with the Romans. And here's this devout man, and he finds time every day to pray, to honor God, to give alms. It's important to see. It's a model for us too. This man who even at this point was not yet Christian. Okay, and so he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon the tanner by the seaside. So I sent to you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore we are all here present in the sight of God to hear all you have been commanded by the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? It just, you see the hunger for God that's in him. And he's saying, now you're here, and I know you have something for us from God. And the whole household's there with eager longing to receive. That's soil prepared by the Lord himself. Verse 34, and Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Anyone who fears God. So in their mind, Peter said, the Gentiles were not acceptable to God. But Peter's seeing here that God, it's God who's working in Cornelius, and it's manifested in a holy fear of God. It's something God is producing. And he's trying to do what's acceptable to God. Verse 36, you know the word which we sent to the sons of Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of all. The word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Here's the word he's saying that was preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses to all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him up on the third day and made him manifest, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins in his name. While Peter was still saying this, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who came with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they had heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone forbid water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. What a powerful, powerful story, powerful witness. Just have a few seconds left. I'm going to take this up again tomorrow and dive more deeply into Peter's message and then the spiritual dynamics that unfolded around the proclamation and how the word went to the Gentiles. There's so much for us to be inspired by and to learn from here. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
In the scripture, Jesus' teaching on the conditions of salvation is consistent, urgent, and pervasive. Friends, I'd like to offer you Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? The booklet unpacks several gospel passages so we can find and stay on the narrow path that leads to eternal life. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. Or visit renewalministries.net/FOE. That's renewalministries.net/FOE.